Welcome to What's On Joe Mine, a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. It's 9 o'clock. Do you know where your dial tone is? This is episode 7, and we have an insanely full episode tonight. So let's get the rest of the cast in here. I'm Gary, and joining me on the high-tech Skype line is showrunner Greg.
Hello.
And still on his weekend high of robot stuff is Chuck.
Evening, everybody. How are you?
Taking a moment from the barrage of news that has literally hit the community in the last 72 hours is Justin.
What's going on, guys?
Brutal work, isn't it, Justin?
Oh, it's rough. It's rough.
Well, folks, I got to tell you, we're not kidding. I mean, we have amended our show schedule about 5 times since Saturday. I think one of the last things Justin and I are talking about on Friday is like, yeah, it's kind of a slow news week. Yeah. Careful what you wish for. So yeah, we have this show planning site and we work on and off of, and this show so far has had the most interaction, and basically it came together right at the last minute today with kind of, hey, we were going to talk about Renegades, but we're not going to talk about Renegades. We're going to talk about The Rock, and we're not going to talk about IDW. We're going to talk about these Q&A questions. So actually, hopefully the content has improved itself. Let's get on with the rest of the show here and the contact information for dipping into this week's mailbag. Contact the show at whatsonjoemine@gmail.com. You can also find us on our Podbean page, whatsonjoemine.podbean.com. And new this week, actually it's probably been there a while, but we're going to mention it this time. It's whatsonjoemine.podbean.com/mobile for all mobile devices now. We cover iPhones, Androids, Blackberries, Windows Mobile, and any phone that has an internet browser and can support MP3 playback. How's that for technology? I know. We are just bleeding edge. You can also now find us, as always, on Facebook, but it's always easier to find us on Facebook when you don't really have to search out of your way to find us on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/whatsonjoemine. And then you can always stop by our home site of joedeclassified.com and subscribe to the show via iTunes. So a special hello to our listeners in Pawtucket and Providence, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. All over Europe, Beijing, Tokyo, Singapore, South Korea. I mainly think I think part of that's because Chuck's big over in Asia.
Chuck's big pretty much everywhere.
Like David Hasselhoff in Germany.
Oh, that's perfect music for next week.
And he's going to sing again. Nobody wants that.
We have listeners as far away as New Zealand and Australia. Probably the guys from the Foosh cast. Hey, guys, how you doing? Hope you listen again. Someone even listened to the show off the coast of Africa, which I'm not quite sure if it was a plane or a ship, but the geotag showed someone downloaded it off the coast of Africa. But the most interesting here shout out, and this is why I'm mentioning this right here, is I want to shout out to a listener from Fort McPherson, about a population 800-ish in the Northwest Territory Providence of Canada. It is some 65 miles inside of the Arctic Circle. Somebody there downloaded one of our shows, listened to it. So obviously a Joe fan. Now, we complain all the time. We walk into a Walmart and we see the same, you know, 4 pegs of Arctic Destros hanging there. I can't imagine this guy finding anything on his pegs. So if you are from Fort McPherson in the Northwest Territories of Canada, email the program. We would like to talk to you because we want to know your challenges of trying to get your Joes. So that's what messages from me and the welcome that we got going on. And let's turn this over to Greg for the mailbag, and we can start this thing off.
All right. We got 2 really good letters in this week. One of them was from Thomas Brooks, and he says, "Hey, guys, listening to episode 6, and it's great. So are you looking for a 12-inch collector? I have collected 12-inch Joes in the past and also into the 3¾-inch Joes. I collected the original series of 3¾-inch dudes and have been backing the little guys since the modern era of versions. Don't know if I'll get into the new 12-inch dudes on the horizon," which I'm guessing he means the ones that are coming out this fall, like the police officer and the fireman, stuff like that.
Those are real dudes.
Yes. He says, I do like the looks of the Sideshow figures, but I will never buy any. Way too expensive. I can buy a lot of little Joes for the cost of one Sideshow. They look very impressive, but I'll never go there." And then he has a couple links to his websites. I took a look at them. One of them's Blogspot, and I'm not sure what the other one is. But it looks like he does a lot of customs of 12-inch figures. So it's 12-inch versions of the 3¾-inch Real American Hero figures. So pretty cool. And he also says, I have a great Max Brooks story that just happened today. So we'll have to try to figure out what that story is from him. But thanks for writing in, Thomas. We appreciate it.
And yeah, I've seen his site a little bit. He's he does some great 12-inch customs. I love that stuff.
Yeah, it looked like he has some pretty neat things going on there. And then the other letter that we have in is from Justin Wilson.
Justin, friend of the program, by the way. Big friend of the program.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Okay. He was pretty modest. He says, I want to know if anyone ever pays attention to MCAX.com. The club took so long to get it going, and I think it kind of failed. So those not certain, MCAX.com is the Master Collectors auction site that they've been talking about for, years. Probably since I got back into Joe's. And it finally went live within the last 6 months. Do any of you guys use the MCAX or even been there?
I went for my show prep because we knew this mail was going to be read. I went there and just decided to take a look. I've been before. I saw some of the convention staff, club staff, put some after con stuff on there. There's like only one dude selling on it right now. yeah, and I spent a lot of time on that thing. We give the club grief a lot, and they come out with something that could be used in the community, and everyone's like, nah. I don't know. What do you guys think of it?
Yeah, these competitive auction sites always have a rough time getting going. Just everybody complains about eBay, but there's so much out there on eBay right now. It's tough for any of these competitive sites to kind of get off the ground because eBay's already got such a huge established customer base. I've been to it a few times. After the latest con, I was kind of bummed out. I didn't go and wasn't able to get any of the con exclusives. So I figured I'd hit that site first to kind of see if anything would show up there. And no, nothing really did. And there's still really not a whole lot up there. It's all mostly new anniversary stuff. Like you said, only one or two people are really selling stuff on it. So I don't know if it's just hasn't quite taken off yet. Or if people just eBay is still the go-to place, and I think eBay really is the go-to place. I don't anticipate this, taking charge anytime soon, which is too bad because you're right. It has been talked about for a while. I know I've heard people asking about it for a while and asking for it for a while, but at some point, does it just take too long? And I don't know what's going to end up happening with it.
I could have sworn. A few years ago, I heard that there was some sort of lawsuit involved with how long it was taking for the site to get up. That they, by saying the site was going to be up at a certain date and then it wasn't, they broke some sort of trade law or something. But, I mean, that I don't remember. But I think the length of time it took Master to Collector to get this auction site up really says a lot about, the people they have working on their computers and the fact that it took this long, and then how long it took to get online registration for the conventions. And
hey, Chuck, if we get a nickel every time the club missed a due date, we'd all be rich.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
and anymore, I think our expectations are kind of set on the club that it's, okay, we know it's coming. Don't set a time. And I even think they know this, too. They don't even set a time anymore. Like, yeah, it's coming.
Gary, you said nickel, but I get a dime from them every time they miss something.
That's because they like Transformer fans better.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Who doesn't, Gary, really? Who doesn't?
That's a good point. I don't, but I just collect Joes. Oh, by the way, this is a BotCon-free episode for those of you that are worrying at home. You're like, oh, no, I don't want to hear anything more about Transformers from Chuck. This is a BotCon-free episode.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We'll just, every time he says anything about it, we'll just bleep it out in post-production.
we'll sub in the words G.I. Joe every time.
G.I. Joe in alternate mode, yeah. Hey, on a follow-up with the 12-inch collector, and that's interesting, I put some feelers out on the club forum, which we know how antiquated that is. Said, hey, we got a podcast, come out and listen to it. And the first guy that responded is like, do you guys talk about 12-inch, Joes? And actually it's like, no, I got to say, there's, kind of a huge deficiency in my my knowledge base on the 12-inch Joes. There's probably a lot that we could add back to the collector base by educating them on the 12-inch Joes. But You know, if that's something that folks would like to hear about on a regular basis, we might be able to set up a regular segment about once a month or something about 12-inch Joes, maybe have someone from the 12-inch community come in and join the show. So if that's something that maybe someone would be interested in or a group of folks would be interested in, contact the show and let us know, because we probably need a little time to put that together. Anything else, Greg?
Nope, that was it. If you guys have any more questions, feel free to write into, put them on the Facebook wall or send them into whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. It always makes my day when we get an email. I get something to read at work.
Shouldn't you be working at work?
Well, I'm at work. I think that's all they really
is. Is it slow times these days at Kohl's? No? Is it slow time these days at Kohl's?
It's never really slow time, but...
Okay. You don't want to say that because it's being recorded on the record, right?
There we go.
Okay.
All right, that's it for the mailbag for the week.
We're going to play around with the format. We do have a guest for today's show. Typically we talk to the guests after the news, but hey, you know what? We're going to change it up today just to keep everyone on their toes. So let me bring them in here. He had special intro music requested for him, so he's not going to find out what it is until after he listens to the show. But joining us in the virtual studio, he's featured weekly on histank.com. You can check out his online Dio Comics at ages 25 and up .blogspot.com and goes by the aliases of The Elite Warrior or Numbers. He's a friend of Chuck, so we forgive him. Please welcome Amir for ages 25 and up.
Welcome.
What's going on, Amir?
I will not be pushed, filed, stamped, indexed, briefed, debriefed, or numbered. My life is on my own. Time people actually call me numbered. So, hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here, and a good day.
Good to have you.
Chuck, go ahead and take this thing off.
All right, buddy. We're going to start off with the first question, and, you know, I'm sure it's one you've been asked dozens of times. How did you get started doing the comic, and what were some of your inspirations to do it?
Well, how I got the idea from the comic was actually kind of interesting. I was standing on my toilet, and I was hanging a clock, and I fell, and I hit my head on the sink. And that's when I came up with the – okay, no, I'm making back future reference. Originally, the comic wasn't actually anything regular or scheduled. I was part of this small community called the Customizer Universe. They're still around. They're called the Mandalorian Guilds now. You can find them on Facebook. And basically, well, you guys, I'm sure you've heard about how bad distribution of Joes in Canada is. The first wave of 25th anniversary figures we got was the one with Snowjob, Flash, Hooded Cobra Commander. What wave was that? Like 7 or something?
Well, it was wave 5 or wave 1, 2008. I think it was kind of both.
Right. Well, it was wave 1 up here in Canada.
Actually, I think.
Well, that was the first wave we got, and that was all we got. We got one, not even a case of those. We got one Snowjob, one Cobra Commander, each of those in one Zellers.
So I knock Snowjob, man. You need him up in Canada.
No. I got Snowjob. He was like he was the second figure I actually got. I mean, it was just really hard to find them. So when I first started the comic, it was basically just me showing my friends, hey guys, check what I finally found at retail up here in Canada. But people actually liked it, so I thought what I'd do is I'd see if maybe I can make this a little weekly thing, see if there's actually people who are interested in it. So I made an account on his tank, and I started posting it there, and kind of took off from there.
Cool.
So do you shoot just one episode at a time, or do you shoot a whole bunch of them and then just edit them and post them as they come up?
Well, what I would used to do is I would spend like a day just writing out scripts, writing ideas for stories, and then if I finished more, it'd be great because I can shoot a bunch of them at the same time if they use the same set, same, you know, background. These days, I tend to keep it shorter, so it's usually I write one during the week and then shoot it on like Friday or Saturday and edit it at the same time. So I don't really shoot more than one comic at the same time anymore, even though I really should, because it'd just be, you know, more efficient that way. Maximize productivity and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
What kind of software do you use for your layout and your page design and stuff?
I do it all in Adobe Photoshop. Cool. I mean, there are all kinds of comic maker programs out there, but I find that those really just, well, they don't give you the sort of options that that something like Photoshop does. I mean, for a lot of talk bubbles, I just make them manually. I make a rounded rectangle and I warp it into shapes so it looks, mm-hmm. you know, toony and bubblish, and then I take a square and I drag it out and warp it to make the tails and stuff like that. There's a lot more you can do if you do it manually. Granted, there's a big learning curve, mm-hmm. but there's a lot you can do if you try. And if you don't know how, there are all kinds of tutorials online to find out how to do all kinds of fancy effects like rain and whatnot. And it's just more fun that way. You know, you learn stuff.
Hey, Numbers, you got one of the things in your comics that I like. You're the only guy that gives love to combat heroes. What do you like about those guys?
Well, you guys are probably not going to think too highly of this. Chuck might. But I first got started with the combat heroes with the Transformers line, the robot heroes. I like them because they were just really cartoony and unusual. You don't really tend to find these super deformed, chibi little animated guys with big old smiles and goofy expressions, you know, on the shelves. If you want to import them from some crazy expensive Japanese ones, sure, but you can't really find those elsewhere. So I thought they were fun. I got a bunch of them. I actually have all of the Generation 1 robot heroes, and my brother and I made this tabletop RPG out of them using a bunch of D20s and a deck of playing cards.
Nice.
Though I did actually forget the rules, unfortunately, but it was kind of cool. Anyway, so when the combat heroes came out, I thought, that's a no-brainer. I'm going to get these too. Only they were really expensive, so luckily they all went in liquidation, except for Wave 3. But I managed to find those locally at a specialty shop, and I paid a little too much, but hey, they're all mine, and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people don't really like them. You know, people complain about how that shelf space, or peg space rather, could be used better for other figures, but, you know, it gives more variety to the toy aisle when you find something unusual and fun, and I enjoy them for what they are. For what they are and what they're worth, they're well done. And they're better than a lot of the other heroes in terms of articulation, which might sound kind of weird, but they can turn out their waist and stuff like that. Storm Shadow, he's got articulation in his wrists and stuff too, so there's a lot of fun to be had with him.
All right, Numbers. One question.
Sorry about
that. That was fine, but the question I have for you is, do the figures you have drive the story, meaning you have such and such, you know, have this figure, that figure, and that figure, you're going to write a story about them, or does the story come first, and then you pick and put the figures, characters in?
Well, that's a good question. Originally, or at least I used to anyway, I used to use the comic basically as an excuse to get figures, because it's real easy. Hey, this guy looks cool. Well, I can make a story.
Sounds like you, Justin.
Well, I mean, I don't do things like, you know, in-depth reviews and photo galleries and stuff, so I don't really have a reason to get them except for the comic, and, you know, other than collecting in general, but that just gets expensive. So I think it depends. If I have a story that I'd like to do, I'll see if I have figures that can fit into it, or ones that I could make work for my collection. If not, I might try to go out and find some. But I generally, these days, I just use what I have, because you can't really find too much up here, and I don't want to have to go, you know, specialty shops and hunt down figures or try to get them online. So I basically use what I have. There are ideas of stories that I've had that I couldn't make because the figures just weren't available, including a Beard Force one of the A-Team, but none of the A-Team stuff was available up here. The A-Team movie stuff, I mean, like the figures and the A-Team van and whatnot. Those weren't available up here, so I had to scrap that idea completely. Stuff like that, but yeah, big deal, you know? Make up another story, right?
There you go.
So looking at your comics, it doesn't look like... Or have you been able to get much of the Pursuit of Cobra stuff? I noticed there's a POC beachhead in one of your comics, but what else have you managed to get from Pursuit of Cobra?
From Pursuit of Cobra, all I have right now is that beachhead and the vamp, which I found at Winners for $15. That's it.
Gotcha.
I did find some others, like I saw some other ones, you know, like Snowjob and the Aliens Pulse Rifle Duke and whatnot, but we didn't get the low light wave, which, yeah. So Chuck, I know how you feel. Well, no, I know how you used to feel, because you have a low light now, don't you?
Yes, spoiled yes, actually. Again. Thanks to Greg.
Is he glorious? Is he shiny? Did you lose the bullet yet?
Well, no. I actually hate to say this, and I feel a little...
Don't tell me you still haven't opened him.
I haven't opened him
yet. Dude, it's been like a month.
Come on, man. What is this?
You were bitching every week about that figure. Now you've had it for a month. You don't even open it.
This is a problem I have. It's a cross I have to bear. I'm sorry.
Tear it open right now.
Or send
on
it
the
up
podcast.
Send it
to me. And I'll tear it
open. Do it live. Tear it open up here. I'd be like,
I don't have them handy right now.
Well, you know, we can set up a segment. You know, we got the old, you know, Fox News alert sound. You know, now Chuck opening up Lifeline, no, not Lifeline, Low Light. Gosh, where am I? Yes, and all of a sudden, he has now lost the bullet in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bullet's lost every now and then.
Now we need its own theme music.
Oh yeah, we can set that up totally.
The official accessory lost sound. I don't know what it sounds like, though. But.
Well, for me, it'd be more like...
And then that will set up your commentary segment perfectly, Chuck. You know,
that's what... Grant
have you ever... Is. Yeah, yeah, that's a go. Have you ever opened up a figure and lose the part? You know, just like Andy Rooney.
No, because I don't have ham hands.
Oh, anyways, we just trampled all over someone's segment. Who's next?
I think, probably Greg, you next, or is it my turn?
That's you.
Okay. I guess my question is, you know, from myself working in this type of, you know, Photoshop kind of action figure comic format, what's the biggest challenge you face in doing this? Is it finding the time to do it? Is it software restrictions, action figure restrictions? What do you find the most challenging about doing this?
Well, I think it's more creative than anything. You know, trying to keep ideas every week, trying to, you know, take the photos and make the stories still make sense and have time to write stuff, things like that. Than just software issues, you know, because it's pretty demanding to well, I don't really want to say something like that. You know, I'm not like doing heavy lifting or anything, mind you. But there's a lot involved in, you know, coming up with stories and making dialogue that suits the characters, or at least my versions of the characters, and just trying to keep it fresh and entertaining every week. You know?
Hey, what's the best method of you getting the word out? I know obviously getting front page on His Tank helps a lot. I mean, do you do a lot of advertising on their sites, networking, or basically you're just kind of relying on word of mouth?
Well, I don't really want to just go around and be like, hey guys, check out my comic, and then, you know, put spam banners and stuff like that. I mean, I actually felt bad. When I first made the Histang account, it was just for the comic. I mean, I was looking at the thread about SIG rules to try to figure out what I can put inside of my signature. And I actually contacted one of the moderators. I PM'd him like, I have a banner ad for this website I run. He said, okay, if I put it there? I never got an answer. So I'm like, all right, let's make a thread, and people liked it. So I guess it worked out in my favor. But I don't really go around trying to advertise much. I mean, I have the blog where I put them up every week. I have the viral marketing sort of Facebook tie-in page and the front page in His Tank. That's pretty much it. So I guess word of mouth would be the biggest advertising sort of a factor.
Okay. Well, my next question is, Simon Furman is best known for taking obscure Transformer characters that have little to no backstory and making them integral parts of the Transformers universe.
Yes.
You yourself have done this with the character of Clutch. Now, while Clutch is remembered fondly by many of the individuals who grew up with the Joe comics, he's really wouldn't be considered like a top-tier guy. But now, I can't imagine at any point in time passing up a Clutch figure, picking him up, or anything involving Clutch. I will focus more intently on it. How do you feel that you've actually done this for the Joe community?
Well, now I actually feel like a jerk saying yes, making a reference to Simon Furman's characters of Deathset, who's my favorite comic book character. But actually, I'm not really sure what to think about that. I mean, I like Clutch because of his personality in the comic. I mean, just look at his file card. It's hilarious about how he greases his hair with motor oil, rarely shaves, chews the same toothpick for months, still calls women chicks, stuff like that. There's a lot of a personality to the character, and that's what drew me into him. Because when you read the G.I. Joe comic, at least in the early issues, there were only the original 13 characters, and, you know, General Flag and whatnot. So you got to know a lot more of the personality of those individual characters, right? Because you didn't really have other characters to work with. So Clutch stuck out to me because he has personality. He has flaws, right? He's not just a big heroic guy with no issues and no problems, right? He's still a good soldier. He's still, we saved the team's bacon on more than one occasion. Just that he also has these other elements of him that you wouldn't really typically want to find in your, dashing hero, right? Including his womanizing and his increasing Sarah's motor oil and whatnot. So one of the Joe figures I got was the Valor vs. Venom comic 3-pack that had Stalker, Hawk, and Clutch. That's my favorite, Clutch. I mean, that head sculpt, the way the hair is all slicked and the beard and stuff. The chest is a little too big, but I'm assuming he's wearing like a bulletproof vest or something. I like the character, and I thought that I'd put him into my comic. That's why, actually, between issues 3 and 4, and at the end of issue 3, Clutch was injured, and I made this whole cliffhanger thing about, oh no, what's going to happen to him, right? Because there was supposed to be a pause, so that the next issue he'd come back with the new vamp, I'd get a 25th figure, 25th anniversary figure of him with the vamp, right? But those didn't come out in Canada, at least not in general retail. So there were months between issue 3 and 4, because I had to wait for them to arrive at a collector shop. I had to go in and pick it up. I was hounding the website pretty much daily, waiting for the vamp to show. When I saw it was in stock, I just head over there, picked it up, opened it at a friend's house. He must have thought I was crazy, but he actually became a Clutch fan too. I got him a loose Clutch figure once as a gift because he was a fan of the character. So I don't really know if I'm doing the character justice. I mean, my version of Clutch, he's pretty much flat. He makes bad jokes and puns, and he drives a Jeep. That's pretty much it. I don't really know what I'm doing to do justice to the character, but I just like using him, and he's my favorite Joe character, so I try to show him some love now and then, rather than the ones we usually know, like Snake Eyes and whoever else is popular, I don't know. The guys who are clogging your bags. You know what I mean?
I think Clutch is a good choice for that, because out of the original 13, I mean, besides Snake Eyes and Stalker, he had the most face time, but like you said, he had the most character on that first file card. So that kind of helps that you had something to work with. And I agree, his figures, they've been pretty good, especially like that one you said with the comic pack. That one that came out, other than the big barrel chest that he came with, that head sculpt that was on him was pretty good. So
he also had a convention exclusive one with the Manny's Mean Machine logo was on his back. But
Tanks for the Memories. Tanks for the Memories.
There you go. Tanks for the Memories. Then he came with a rock and roll, was it?
Yep.
That was a pretty cool set.
And that was actually, that's still my favorite concept. They did good work on that one.
Yeah.
What also annoyed me was the clutch that came with the Pursuit of Cobra vamp, because on the back they showed what looks like a new head sculpt. I'm not sure if it actually is. It might just be the paint. But that head sculpt, he has this like smirk in the corner of his eye, right? And his mouth has this little smirk, right? There's a lot more personality than this 25th figure, which is just him looking tough with his beard, you know. And I found that smurf. Smurf? I'm getting my lines confused. Whoa, okay. I found that smirk of his, there we go, added a lot more character to the character, if you will, and a really suited Clutch personality. So I was kind of sad that they decided not to use that. And the body itself is pretty bland, but I mean, you kind of expect that. It's packed into the vehicle. But the draw of that set was obviously the vehicle, not so much the figure, but I was just glad to see, hey, here's Clutch again, you know?
Yeah, gotcha.
Do we want to shoot out one more question? Or my question, I guess I'm kind of I'm poking around on your site a little bit right now, and
navigation is really bad. I know I'm working on that. I've been saying that for a long time. Must sound like a politician, up a reflection or corrupt. Seriously, I'm working on it.
No, that's cool. With me, I'm the last person to bitch about site navigation. I'm believe me. But one of your more recent episodes, it looked like, had some kind of really cool looking bar set, and I'm just kind of wondering how you go about building your sets. What kind of props do you use? Is there any kind of source that you like above others for getting little quirky scale accessories and things like that? What do you typically use?
For most of my sets, I really kick it old school. A lot of the sets just tend to be a background, which is either a printed background or a panel from my computer, or one of the landing pads from the headquarters playset from back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And for the foreground, I just put things like Playmobil accessories are actually really good. The scale is a little bit off for Joe's, so if they sit in the chair, it looks kind of quirky. But I have this Playmobil set, which is it's like a home office, I think it is. A computer, there's a desk, there's tables and chairs and stuff like that. They have all kinds of Playmobil sets. If you look at them, they have food and beer bottles and stuff like that. I bought some Playmobil off a friend of mine, Latin Joe 22 from Joe Canuck, JoeCanuck.com, and it was just a Playmobil guy, his dog, and this crate with like a six pack of beer. It was awesome. And I was like, sweet, sold. For Clutch's bottle of Jack, that was actually from Stickfuzz. Stickfuzz were these 3-inch ball jointed customizable action figures. They're made of solid plastics. You can cut into them, you can modify them and stuff like that, you can paint on them. They had no sculpted detail, so you can do whatever you want with them, you can build them how you wanted. And I used to use them for stop motion. I used to do animations before I started doing the comic, but I had to give that up because the comic took up all my time. And so yeah, that's where Clutch's bottle came from. One of the sets was this 30s era gangster with a Tommy gun, and he had this bottle of Jack. And the sticker came from the sticker, the Stickfuzz rock band set that had this Jack label. So I just stuck that to the bottle and like sold, gave him this to Clutch. The bar set, I wanted to build a bar set for a long time now, but I never got around to it. I had got these cardboard boxes. I'm like, okay, I'm going to cut them up. I'm going to put them into a pool table. I'm going to put in some slot machines. It's going to be sweet. And that was like 2 years ago. The bar set I actually found out at the Salvation Army. I was walking in, and I saw this wooden handmade bar ornament and thought, sweet. So I brought home, ripped out the plastic figures that were sitting on it. So you can still see some of the hot glue in places, like on the counter next to the rock and roll. Yeah, I just hastily ripped them all out so I got space for Indy and the other guys, and I just used that. I don't know really where to find these scale things like bottles and stuff like that. I'm sure they're around, right? You can probably get them like cool-looking Japanese sets that are shaped like a... Well, I guess no, those are probably more for like Nendoros and stuff like that. Anyway, I'm not really sure, but Playmobil would probably be a good bet for scaled bottles and stuff.
Cool.
Hey, I'm an IT guy. I know Justin is too, so we appreciate technology and gadgets and whatnot. I know when you do take pictures, because I did for a good portion a couple years ago, I would take pictures and use them for Joe Battlelines and Justin's site to kind of show some of the new figures. To get the detail, to get zoomed in, sometimes was a challenge because after a while your camera just stops focusing on it altogether. So I'm just assuming that you got some nice equipment. What are you using for a camera and your equipment? And is it something that anyone can get? Or you also sound like that since you got some animation background that maybe you got something highly specialized. So tell us what do you got for gear?
Well, my gear is actually just a regular Canon PowerShot SX10, just a regular digital camera. It's not an SLR. It's the one between SLR and point-and-shoot. So it looks like an SLR, but you can't actually change the lenses and doesn't have all the features of an SLR. I put that on just a tiny little tripod. It's a tripod. I don't even know where it came from. I got it from my friend's father when they were moving. They don't make them like they used to anymore. It's like they took all the features of a regular full-size tripod and the locking legs, none of those little flexible bead gorilla things, a real tripod, just shrunk down. And that's all I use. I just set my camera to detail mode. That's the little flower icon. Macro mode is your friend. If you're going to take anything close up or small detail, always set on macro. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of photos people take online where they try to take a photo of like a sweet custom they made, but the background's in focus and you don't see what's in the foreground.
Exactly, yeah.
It's easy to take photos, but you just have to know what to do. Like turn off the flash, make sure the background's lit properly, white balance, all that kind of stuff. So I don't do anything too fancy. You just have a regular camera and that's pretty much it. I don't have any kinds of Space Age, Buck Rogers type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay, cool.
Anyone could do what I do.
All right.
Okay, buddy. I just got the final question here. Real easy. Who's your favorite member of Beard Force?
My favorite member of Beard Force would have to be Clutch because Clutch is my favorite character. So that would be my answer.
Not that the other
members of Beard Force don't give Clutch a run for his money, just that it's the Clutch. You know what I mean? He's Clutch.
What do you think of the newest member of Beard Force?
newest member of Beard Force. You mean Outback? He was recently inducted, recently, like half a year or so.
The one you ran a contest for.
Oh, you mean the real-life Beard Force? Salty Santa you talking about? Sparhawk?
There you go.
All right. See, we had this contest a while back in which we had this... I say we. I mean me, because it's just me doing stuff. I guess so. In which it was a show a photo of yourself, and you can join Beard Force to try to get readers, you know, interested in sending in photos themselves, making up a quirky backstory about their Beard Force agent. And Chuck submitted one. It was this photo of himself dressed up in his salty Santa costume. So he was in this this raggedy Santa Claus suit, the beard sagging off his face. Is there? What were you holding? It was like a 40 or something?
It was a bottle of Jack Daniels.
And just this look of not despair, more like disdain on your face. Like, yeah, it's Christmas, big deal.
Greg, can we put this in the show notes?
Definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Amir, I'm going to need you to send this to me after you finish up.
I was going to say, when Chuck answered that one call with a video call, that's exactly what he looked like. So.
Guys, wouldn't have it any other way. Page.
Is it? All right. That'll be easy to find.
Salty Santa. He's coming for your kids, man.
Wow. Anyway.
Training order or not? The gift of pain.
About that whole Odd Couple thing, Chuck, forget that, all right?
Ooh.
I knew that.
I was looking forward to that.
Oh. And it had such possibilities. Such possibilities.
I watched that each and every week.
Well, you'd be the one.
How are they going to get out of this one? Oh, that Chuck always gets into trouble. Fire at the old pill.
Well, Amir, that pretty much is the, the end of the segments and questions. I'm just scared that there's a action figure or character that's based after Chuck.
Hold on. He doesn't have a figure of him.
No, you didn't make a custom figure? Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, even better.
I'm working on it.
But before we wrap up the interview, anything you want to plug, talk about the site, whatnot, and if you will like, you're welcome to join us for the rest of the episode.
Sure, I'll stay if you guys want to have me. I don't really.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But one thing I wanted to mention is that thanks to the guys for reading, you guys is the reason I actually make this. I mean, I wouldn't have gone beyond issue 10 or even got that far if I didn't know you actually were looking at it and gave a crap. I keep saying that I'm working on this page called The Archive, and actually I'm working on it. The navigation is really bad, so I'm making this page, which I have dubbed The Archive. Half it is up. What it was is every time I put up a comic, I put a link to that comic on the archive page. I put a brief synopsis, a list of characters that are in it, so you can easily search and find. Say you want to find every issue with your favorite character. You can go to the archive, you can find them. Only half the archive got deleted, and because I'm a fool, the only backup I made was like a few months ago. So right now, the archive has about a third of the entire comic.
You would not be the first person involved in the Joe community that's lost a lot of data by not backing stuff up.
Yeah, that's true. You're in a Steam company.
Very.
In the episode, guy lost his book. I was like, ugh.
Yep, hurt me. James, yeah.
It hurt me in the soul. I felt bad. Man. I'm also working on a wiki. Some readers have suggested this, and I didn't really want to do it at first. I thought, ooh, look at me. I have this fancy online comic. I have a Wikipedia section where you can read about, you know, it felt to be a little too bigoted. But when I was actually talking to readers on the Histang thread, I realized that, yeah, I've been doing this for 3 years. A lot of the stuff there's a lot of convoluted, weird crap I've done. Like, when I'm talking to someone about a character, it's like, oh, yes, the last time he appeared was in this story arc when such and such happened, and it gets complicated. So I thought, okay, I'll do this wiki page. It'll be a good idea. It'll be a nice way for people to catch up on old stories and find out what's happening in this Joe-verse. Of mine.
Well, that's awesome. We're looking forward to it. We appreciate it. And, well, you've been entertaining so far, so we'll see what you can bring to the rest of the episode, okay?
I just want to apologize for using the term Joverse. I didn't actually mean that. I don't use the term. I don't use that a trope, guys.
You are fined one credit for a violation of the verbal morality statute.
And now we're throwing back to episode one.
No, we'll just fine him. It's one more, you know, one more credit for the old bin.
Yes, the potty jar.
Yeah, exactly.
It was $10 every time you use that word, so we'll give you our addresses after the show.
You are fine.
All right, well, Greg, back to you for the regularly scheduled portion of the program.
All right, let us jump into news then. And the first topic is vehicle pre-orders are available for the Skystriker, the Black Dragon VTOL helicopter, and the Vamp repaint. We saw these on Small Joe's. It looks like, according to the pre-orders, they will be, what is it? It's 40, the VTOL, the Black Dragon, and the Vamp together. And then for the Skystriker, it is $35 on pre-order. Are you guys going to planning on waiting for them in the stores, or are you going to try to get them online through pre-order?
You know, I'm going to hang off and wait until maybe I see them in the stores. It's just that, you know, the price plus shipping is a little much for something that I'm just going to, you know, open the box, put it together, go, ooh, shiny, nice, and, you know, maybe leave on display for a couple of days and then file it away.
But you missed the step about weeping at all the stickers.
I was trying to put that out of my mind. I mean, 30 years on, you'd think they could make decent stickers for once. I mean,
that Vamp, I'm having bad dreams already waiting for that Vamp to come out, putting all those damn stickers on there again.
Do you guys have your sticker tweezers handy for applying those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Necessity.
It took like an hour or two to put those on, but it felt so good. Except when you put them on badly, because then you can't use them, and then you feel bad.
Yes.
Oh, but my whole thing is I can use tweezers, toothpicks, this and that. They just don't stay on.
They do stay on, just that when they stay on, you can't adjust them. So you got to make sure you get them right the first time, otherwise they peel, and then there's that like white layer that, you know what I mean, it just looks bad. So do them right the first time, kids.
The other problem is with these stickers is that I would say, going even back to the 25th anniversary, is that the stickers aren't so much this goes here, that goes there. It's more like, here's some stickers. Put them wherever you like. This is the computer monitor. It goes there, but you don't have to put it there. I can't stand that. I just want to be told where to put the damn sticker, and that's it.
Oh, God, here we go.
Okay, well, have you got any new stuff? That's how they were in the movie line, but now the stickers are actually pretty useful. Like, I mean, for the Vamp especially, the instruction sheet was pretty thorough. There were a lot of stickers. Even extra stickers, too, like that black and white checkered panel. It doesn't even say where to put that. You get extra stickers. You can put them where you want, and you can make your own number designations and bullet holes and stuff. So there's a lot you can do with just putting the stickers on and choosing where to put them if you put them on at all. It's a pain to have to put them all on because there are a lot of them.
Well, if you like stickers, then you guys are just going to love the Skystriker. And if you're a completist of some sort where you have to have every variant, remember the Skystriker is actually coming with two different sticker sheets, one for classic style and one for POC style. So Chuck is getting ready to fire off a couple choice words here, and we got the bleep ready.
But, get that 7-second delay.
Yeah, the virtual 7-second delay. But two sticker sheets, so remember that, folks. And on top of that, if you can get the one from Comic-Con, there's the third one as well. So good luck.
Wait, hold on. The Comic-Con one isn't actually a repaint. It's just a sticker sheet that comes with it?
The sticker sheet is coming with the Comic-Con one, of course, is the robot related.
Right, of course.
So. Yeah, the exclusive vehicle itself is repainted.
Yes. Yeah, it is repainted. Yeah.
Cool. Ooh. Just a question about the new Vamp from the Resident Evil Vamp fanboy. What's different this time around besides the driver? And the color scheme looks like jungle green instead of desert tannish? Is that it?
It's a little bit greener, I think, from what I can tell. Yeah, it's kind of I don't want to say it's richer, but it's like kind of a deeper green instead of the pale greenish tan. It's
richer.
Richer, yes.
Ricardo Montalban, Corinthian leather.
But it's not like a different rocket turret on the back or something, right? It's just the same.
No, I think it's the same deal. Same deal, bumper to bumper. It's just got a different driver and different, slightly different paint scheme.
No clutch, no sail. Good day to you, sir. Chuck, you with
also,
me?
Yeah, well, I also think just if I remember the pictures I saw, it is going to come with at least one, maybe two different modular weapons. So there's going to be a little difference there. I'm not sure.
Yep.
I know one of them will still be a rocket launcher because they always got to have the rocket launcher, but...
Because, you know, the fandom loves spring-loaded weapons.
To be fair, it's actually better if you don't put it on because you don't actually need that. Just take it aside, put it in your bag with your extra stuff, leave the Gatling gun on top, and then wipe your hands off and you look at your vamp and like, this is sweet. Now I'm going to load it up with 9 figures, which is good for shelf space. So, Chuck, you should probably look into it.
Chuck follows nobody.
Well, maybe he should.
Well, no, I mean, I'll put 9 figures in it, and I'll leave it out for a little bit, but I'm not going to keep it out just because I don't have the space. You know, it's just, you know, a cross I have to bear.
Okay, well, instead of the space of 9 extra stands, you have the space of them all inside of the vamp, being awesome.
Exactly, that's it, you know, just, you know, the G.I. Joe party wagon.
Party van, man.
Greg, rescue.
Onward. Just today we got a new reveal for the Canadian Jocon figures. They were posted on JoeCanuck.com. The two new figures were Trace Route and Valkyrie, which I believe are both Joes. Trace Route is apparently a counter-cyber terrorism for his primary military specialty, and Valkyrie is intervention. Intervention, apparently. So, did you guys get a chance to take a look at those figures?
I'm just looking at them now, and they look pretty cool. As usual, I'm trying to play the game of what part came from where. I does like that Trace Route. Trace
Route. Next year, he'll be joined by his twin brother, NS Lookup. Only the IT guys will get that joke.
But I do like the fact that it looks like he does have a functioning holster on his leg. And the head appears to come from the Televiper. But I like the red, I like the white. It actually looks a little bit like a member of Alpha Flight, a few fans of the old Marvel comics.
Ah,
right on.
Valkyrie, looks really sweet. It's always nice to see a new female character. I'm sure she's using female body, standard female body number 1 or 2, since there's only 2. She looks interesting. It'll be, you know, interesting to see how they work it into the fiction, but, you know, seeing as how these figures go for, like, hundreds of dollars on the aftermarket, you know, once the convention's over, I'll never see these in my own grubby little mitts.
And remember, folks, there is no market for female figures.
It's a sore subject.
Very. For a lot of people. Unless it's CoverGirl, then I just could give a rodent's behind. I had to censor myself.
I like these guys a lot. They're sticking with kind of the red and white Canadian color scheme. Valkyrie looks totally like a total repaint of Glenda or Pilot Scarlet, however you want to call her, from the Anniversary line, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I like kind of the gray and the red balancing off each other. I don't know how they got that shine on the red. It's pretty neat.
That is really nice. So I gotta maybe get some trade secrets from Mike on that one. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Maybe it's just the way I don't know if they dyed that red or something, and maybe it's just the way kind of the shiny silver reacts with it. I'm not sure exactly how they do it. But and as for Trace Route, I think that head might be another new one that they got made for specifically for this set, because I don't really recognize it from anything else. But I love that combination of the Arctic Snake Eyes torso and skirt with those copper head legs, and And I'm not even sure whose arms those are. I know the upper arms, I think, are Arctic Snake Eyes or Snow Serpent or however you want to attribute them to. I don't know who the lower arms are. But just the color balance is all really nice, and I love these new characters, and I think they look really awesome. Like Chuck, I probably won't get my hands on this set, but I can certainly appreciate them from afar.
Well, the Amir, you know, you're up in Canada. Are you going to be able to make the convention? Are we expect you to maybe get a set of these and appear in a future web comic?
Nope.
That was an easy answer.
No disrespect to my friends over at Jokenut, just that I don't really have the money to try to go to these conventions and can't afford to source stuff. So as cool as they are, I always have to pass. And, well, sorry, guys. Maybe next time. Maybe. Don't be mad at me. Mike's going to ban me. I just know it.
He will. Now he will. Anyways. No, I like – I mean, as an IT guy, again, I've said it probably for the third time in this program. Traceroute, I like – you know, that they're actually, it's not a data frame, mainframe type character that, you know, probably runs things on 5 1/4 floppies and, you know, DAT tapes for that matter. But, okay, so we got, you're going to.
Who's the best? Don't copy that floppy.
Cassette tape on a, you know, a Commodore VIC 20 or something like that. But, I like that they're going to get a modern take on, you know, a little cyber warfare aspect of it. Again, the paint job of the Scarlet body that they used for Valkyrie. Again, I don't know if it's a flash or whatnot, but I do like the shine that it has. I really hope that he just grabbed a spare gun from his bin and just gave it to her, because I really hope they're not using that gun, but I don't know. We'll see. Valkyrie does look very good, so I think we've seen now. We need to see one more from the set. Is that correct, fellas? And that makes up the 8.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's something like that.
Okay, so we got a couple more to look forward to, or one more to look forward to before the convention. So I don't know if he'll make next week's show or not. I did get some details from Mike on what the box will look like in terms of the artwork on the box. I don't have anything specific on it, but for those of you that are traveling to the show and are flying in and wanted to know, you know, what size of box it will be to bring them back in a suitcase, one, it's the same size box in terms of a length and width. The depth is about half the depth, he says. And there will be a spot for each one of the 8 figures inside the box, as well as a spot that the club doesn't do for the file cards. So that'll be nice. There'll be either a slot or a separate cutout area for all the file cards, and a separate cutout area for all the weapons as well. So once again, thumbs up on going the extra mile on the box for the for Mike and the guys at Joe Canuck. Extra mile. It's an originated U.S. program.
I'll just sit over here.
Okay. So it looks good, and good work by the Joe Canuck gang.
All right. Cool. Next up on the news list, we have, according to MSN.com, their TV section, the last 3 episode titles for Renegades. The 24th episode is Going Underground, which will be July 9th. And then the finale is a 2-parter called Revelations, which we'll see on July 16th. And the last episode will be July 23rd. So that'll be the end of the series. So it looks like it'll be 26 episodes total. And by the end of July, we'll know how Renegades ends.
$5, they leave it on a cliffhanger, that there's no ending. It's just, you know, just a wide open gap that's never filled. And, you know, like the gap that's going to be in my heart once this show goes off the air.
You stole my line. I was all prepped for that.
Wouldn't that be the best way, though? Because, I mean, that means they can just continue it later with, you know, comics or something, or a convention set if there's demand for it.
Yeah, that's just a nice...
ended, you know, there's always hope, right?
Oh, sort of maybe. Like another Hasbro brand did with a another animated series that was ended prematurely and they just did a convention set for? Is that what you're talking about, Numbers?
Patience, Chuck. Patience.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it is. Problem, Chuck?
No. I just had a word.
Temper, Chuck. You got fined again.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Yesterday, I believe, word leaked out that for the new G.I. Joe movie, Cobra Strikes, that a new cast addition will be actually Dwayne Johnson. And we have kind of a confirmation from Twitter that he said that, now you know, I believe, at the end of a sentence. But what do you guys think of The Rock joining the new G.I. Joe movie?
I'm sorry, Greg. I really couldn't hear. What did you just say?
Well, I was saying that
it doesn't matter what you said.
Point, Chuck.
Oh, boy.
In the greatest franchise film of all time.
I don't think I can last till next summer.
I would actually have a considerable amount of difficulty caring less, but I mean, there are, I'd rather have him than, you know, someone who, I don't know, sucks. At least he can do comedy, so that's a good sign, right?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely warming up to the idea. When I first heard it, I was kind of like, you know, I could give or take, you know, whatever. But number one, I like it because he is kind of a popular action star. He's obviously not a credible actor, but he is, you know, he's a money-making action film star. And I think the fact that he's...
Credible actor?
What's
he's
that?
The most electrifying man in all of sports entertainment.
Yeah.
He's not just a credible actor, he's an incredible actor.
He was the Scorpion King, people. Come on!
But the best part to me is it shows that they're at least investing some money in the property. I mean, that's, you know, I guess, or at least taking it.
Not necessarily.
I mean, it's tough to say they're taking
it. To
what's that?
In a movie. Not really. It just means they're giving money to a dude to act in a movie, you know, instead of building on, I don't know, CGI or something. Doesn't really mean investing in the franchise much, you know what I mean? It's not like distribution, for example.
There's an investment there. If they're gonna, I mean, The Rock probably makes a good, you know, $10 million a movie. If they're gonna write him that check, then they're at least, you know, they're putting some kind of oomph behind the release, or at least doing something to try to market it. You know, I mean,
yeah, you're right. You're right. I see what you mean.
It's not the perfect casting. It's not what any of us are gonna hope for. But you know, in this day and age. You know, whatever G.I. Joe cartoon, whatever G.I. Joe movie they're going to make, it's not going to be what the collectors want it to be. And I think people just have to kind of move on and accept that. I mean, it's not going to be Black Hawk Down. Hasbro is not going to market a property like that to kids or to the general public. So you just got to kind of take what they give you and try to make the best of it. And as long as it's a step up from the original Rise of Cobra, I'll be happy. And I think, you know, The Rock, he's fine. He's certainly not... not Leonardo DiCaprio, but we'll see what he can do. And I'm up for a cheesy action flick, I guess.
Hey, go ahead, Chuck.
Well, I just got a question because it's going to leave. Do you know when G.I. Joe 2 is supposed to start shooting? Like
August.
August.
Yes.
See, this is actually kind of interesting because I'm not sure because there is a concern now within the wrestling community that. Because, you know, G.I. Joe is a physical action film, The Rock is set to main event WrestleMania 28, which is actually, like, next March.
Mm-hmm.
And roughly you figure January, February is when they really were going to ramp up the promotion. And there's a, you know, and I hear there's a concern now that if The Rock, because, you know, it starts shooting in August, but we don't know when Rock is going to have to report to set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he hurts himself, this can actually screw up a match that's actually been in the works for over a year.
Really, Chuck? If he hurts himself doing a stunt and acting, he won't be able to act doing stunts? Really, Chuck?
Yeah, really, Numbers, because because wrestling isn't as easy as you're making it out to be. You want me to come up to Montreal and show you?
Uh-oh.
Oh, I see another Montreal screw job coming on. Thank you.
And
now, Chuck, what you might not know is that at one point in time, I was actually a wrestling fan, believe it or not, and at the apex of my wrestling fandom, I attended three shows back-to-back-to-back on consecutive days in Providence, Rhode Island, Hartford, Connecticut, and one other, maybe New Haven, Connecticut. And one of those was the very first SmackDown show that The Rock headlined. So, so I've got a little wrestling in my background. I don't.
He can Rudy Poo near Canada.
Justin, were you a roadie? Were you just following around the country? Or groupie, sorry. Groupie.
groupie.
Oh, my.
Menting. I wasn't on store shelves in those years, so I had to find something else to fill my time.
Okay, this Wrestling Minute has been brought to you by whomever.
Slim Jim.
Yeah, snap into it. but now, in terms of the Dwayne Johnson, the actor, I liked him in The Rundown. I thought he was good in Walking Tall. You know, the kids, I know kids like him, which is always key to the property. You know, my daughter can recognize him because he's been on Disney Channel and was in that couple Disney movies where he was like the hockey player and then also the football player. So that aside, I'm okay with that. And then for, you know, like I said on Justin's site, for every good movie that he's been in, a decent movie, then you always have your dooms and your, you know, what was the Mark Wahlberg or the Wahlberg movie that he was in recently with he was a cop, good guys, I think guys. It was. The other guys, yeah. He played kind of a bit part in that. He got killed off early, spoiler alert. But,
Come on, man. Made,
yeah, but
that.
But in terms of, dude. I don't think, I think people that are complaining about.
Those are my Netflix queue.
Oh, well, you know.
Not really.
That's okay. Derek Jeter's in it, so you might just want to cancel it altogether.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think those that are complaining about, hey, Rock, you know, this is, you know, it's cheesy or whatever. I think the product and toy possibilities are pretty appealing. To have a Dwayne Johnson or The Rock action figure for the Joe line, you can put him there with Sergeant Slaughter. And for your non-purist, put him there next to Rowdy Piper. There's plenty of wrestling influences in the Joe history, and should be no different here, I guess. So I like the possibilities of having multiple figures of The Rock for that particular, you know, movie line of toys that are coming out. So I think if you look at it that way, that's some good things that we can look forward to, regardless if you think he's a good actor or not. If you, like Justin said, if you're expecting this film to have good acting in it, I mean, once again, you're going to be disappointed. Go watch Ben-Hur or something like that. But, you know, if you want brainless, mindless explosions and shooting stuff, well, that's kind of what Joe caters to. So bring on The Rock.
Yeah, and, now, and what, just looking at, oh, sorry, Justin. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, without being insensitive, I know I've seen lots of comments online about the rumored character he's playing, the fact that he's playing Roadblock. What does everybody think about that? Do you agree with that casting choice, or
no one make a "can you smell what the block is cooking" joke? I've up to my eyeballs in those.
I was gonna make a "can you smell what the hawk is cooking" joke, but I decided to stay right away from that. It's
my only thing with him is Roadblock, as I've always envisioned. Well, going from the figure and from the shows, Roadblock was always a very big, muscular guy, and while The Rock is, you know, muscular, he doesn't have like the muscles on muscles. So, but then again, you know, this could actually be kind of good since you know, we already have the character of Heavy Duty, who fills that role as like the big heavy gunner. We might be able to see Roadblock in a different light, that the character might be portrayed differently by The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I no longer care. They're going to do whatever they want for the movie, and that's fine. Reinvent. You know, it's been like this for how many years for different other properties coming back out, and they decide, hey, we're going to change the sex, we're going to change the race, we're going to, you know, tweak their name and, you know, make them a non-American, make them an American, make, you know, whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter anymore. I mean, I think it'll be fun for the movie.
I mean, if you go into this expecting to see the G.I. Joe characters you know and love, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. I mean, Hollywood's going to do what they want. It's going to be different and, you know, turn off your brain and watch some stuff blow up, I guess.
Pretty much as Snake Eyes. That's how we remember as a kid. That's pretty much how he appears on the screen. But everyone else, fair game.
And ultimately, that's what Hollywood's been doing. And I know the fandom all likes to think that, you know, they must cater to them to make a successful franchise. But you know, to be honest with you, Hollywood hasn't been catering to the fans for years, and they seem to be doing all right with these comic book movies lately. And in spite of what the fans will tell you, it's not because they're catering to the fans. I mean, over in the Marvel Universe, for years, fans have been decrying the whole Ultimate Universe and how, you know, it's a desecration to the true Marvel Universe and Universe 616 or whatever they call it. And essentially, these new Marvel films are being based pretty strongly off of the Ultimate Universe. I mean, obviously, with some classic elements thrown in, too. But so Hollywood has kind of ignored what the quote-unquote majority rules, and the films have been pretty successful. Hollywood, to some extent, does need to kind of listen to what the fandom wants, but they need to take that with a big grain of salt and realize that an exciting movie, a good two-hour thrill ride that makes a whole lot of money is going to be much better for the brand than catering to fans and making a subpar movie. And I think like a film franchise like Transformers is a perfect example of that. Fans will decry how awful the Bayverse Transformers look, but without that film franchise generating the billions of dollars worldwide that it did, Transformers would be a fraction of what it is right now. You wouldn't have gotten the continuation of the Generations line and all those, you know, callbacks to G1 that everybody loves without those billion-dollar films. So that is ultimately what is the most important, is a successful two-hour film property. And, you know, if the fans don't like it, sorry, you'll have to move on and make room for the public who does like it. The problem you run into with, like, the original Joe film, where you make a film that doesn't cater to the fans and you make a film that the public doesn't like either, and then you're in really big trouble then. So you got to kind of figure out where you're going to put your stock. And
It was number one for a week.
Well, and I also think with the original, with the Rise of Cobra, I think, you know, It was a film not made for the fans. It wasn't made for the general movie-going public. Like, it was a film made for Europe. But that's a tangent for a whole another time.
Yeah, it's just
I think you made a lot of great points there, Justin. About because really, I mean, just look at us. I'm not talking about G.I. Joes, and we have our own little different takes on what this figure should be, how this figure should look. I mean, how can you make a film for the fandom when every single person, you know, might want something different, and if they don't get that, you know, something different, then, you know, it's a complete loss.
Exactly.
And comic book fans are 100 times worse, but, you know.
Yep, I know exactly what you're saying.
All right, and I'm sure as we get more details about the movie, we'll talk about it a bunch more, because this is just the first real big casting news we've heard. And
I'll warn the podcast listeners right now, they're probably going to get real sick of me talking about the movie, but and all my website readers are probably getting pretty sick of it by the time Rise of Cobra hit.
But I mean, in the eyes of the general public, the movies and the TV shows are what they think of when they think of G.I. Joe, so it's right. Something we definitely got to pay attention to.
And unfortunately, with the Rise of Cobra, I mean, what they got was some kind of hybrid of Sigma 6 and some other randomness that was going on in the beginning to middle of the 21st century. And as much as I love Sigma 6, that really wasn't the best face of G.I. Joe to put out there to the public, and I just hope they realize that.
Action Force.
Yeah, going a different direction for the sequel. Sorry, Greg, I know we're going over, so I'll shut up now.
No, that's no problem. I agree. I think we also realized that when Rise of Cobra came out, that was the summer right after the writer's strike, which
exactly.
They didn't make any changes to the script, so
that
a lot of movies that summer sucked.
Yep, that played a big role in it, for sure.
Once again, proves you get what you pay for.
Exactly. So I think we can only hope that things will be better on this one, but we'll find out. And then moving on to our final news item for the evening, the Hasbro Q&A question and answers just came in over the last 2 days, and there was four questions that we kind of want to focus on today that were interesting in the good and the bad way. So the first one was from the Fighting 118 at fighting118th.com. Their question was, let's see, where is it?
Come on, we've been doing this over an hour, Greg. You don't have the question right at your fingertips?
Talk about show planning.
Yeah.
Show prep.
What is the likelihood?
Bring Gary back on, man.
No. This will be the Data Viper.
Yes. What is the likelihood that we actually see all of what was shown at JoeCon at retail of some form? And the answer was, what was debuted at JoeCon 2011 in the cases is what our fans can expect to see from the 30th anniversary line, with one exception. Data Viper did not make the cut. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't really understand. I mean, oh, sorry. No, go
no,
on, Joseph.
No, go ahead, Amir.
Okay, what I'm confused about is that, so what was the plan with Data Viper? I mean, didn't they make all these characters and say, okay, this is the series? How come he just gets cut all of a sudden? The retailers only want a certain amount, and they made one more figure than that or something like that? What's the deal? How come they just cut one character out of the line?
My suspicion is it was probably budgetary. I mean, Hasbro's got to fall within a monetary budget just like anybody else. And when you have a figure like that with not only new tooling, but so much new tooling, a larger accessory like that Predator plane, that big clunky armor, that, you know, satellite dish, there was a lot of potentially expensive production that went into that one figure. And maybe by cutting that one figure, they could save the lives, quote unquote, of, you know, a couple other figures, or they could end up giving us something in the fall that's, you know, something that maybe we might like better as a good trade-off. I think that's probably, you'll find, what, you know, we'll probably never find the true answer from Hasbro. They don't tend to talk about that stuff, but I would think that's probably what we're going to find out. And I, you know, when you look at the grand scheme of things from a fandom's perspective, would you rather they take out the Data Viper, which really has no established history, or are you going to risk them canceling a figure like Lifeline or Sci-Fi or Airtight, who the fans have been waiting for a long time? So I think if they looked at it and they figured, well, something's got to get cut, and it's either a couple figures with moderate new tooling, or it's one figure with all new tooling that has no backstory, that fans don't have an attachment to yet, let's cut that one. And I think, you know, I hate to say it, but I think they probably made the right choice. If they had to make a cut, that's probably the cut they should make, because that's going to save them the most money. The fans have the least attachment to it, and who knows, maybe they're going to kind of roll that money into something else down the line.
Yeah, I'm sorry, number screen. The Data Viper, I mean, he does have a history. That's the Techno Viper. I mean, it's just that they can't call him the Techno Viper for whatever reason.
You're not right. No. There's a Techno Viper and a Data Viper. There's two different figures there.
Data Viper is the Metal Gear looking dude with a satellite on his back.
What?
And like these scanner things in his hands.
Hey, okay, Chuck. We want to thank you for playing. We have an awesome parting gift for you.
You know, it's,
catch you next week.
Just a thrill to be on the show. Thank you. You know when this is going to air?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Do your bets.
No, Chuck. There was a Techno Viper shown at JoeCon, which was the familiar purple Techno Viper who we all know, and then there was a figure called Data Viper, who was a new character, a new kind of trooper, that had this big, huge, triangular helmet on his head, like a satellite dish coming out of his back.
And a
drone airplane that he looked really awesome, but he was a totally new figure, new character, that had never appeared in the Joe history before.
So we're getting the Techno Viper.
We are getting the Techno Viper,
oh, then forget it. Screw the Data Viper. Who the heck is that?
Were any of you guys looking forward to the Data Viper by any chance, or for, like, pieces for customizing or anything like that?
I thought he looked really cool. I mean, yeah, I'm not heartbroken that he's not coming out, but I mean, there are some cool aspects to him. I thought he was pretty neat.
You know, I got to think that if the Data Viper is a candidate because of new tooling and being a lot of plastic, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to see a Zombie Viper go either.
Yeah, agreed.
And in fact, I'll go ahead and call my shot. I don't think we'll see the Zombie Viper. It's too out there. It's too out there, even for Joe.
It seems like people either love or hate the Zombie Viper.
I don't hate it. I mean, the idea of, you know, you got The Walking Dead on TV, and there's a huge zombie following and online and in the movie industry, and that's fine. And, you know, I like a good zombie movie just as much as the next guy, but, you know, shoot them in the head, they're dead. You know, people like low light and crosshair are going to have a ball with these things, so just shoot them in the head, they're done. But if you're going by the same logic of, you know, would I rather see a Quinn, you bet. Clean up my phrasing here. You bet that I really want to see a Quinn over a Zombie Viper. I'll tell you that much right now. As an original 13th collector of someone that collected Marvel 1 through 155, I would love to see a Quinn 10 times more than I want to see a Zombie Viper.
Right on, Gary.
Thank you.
Well, we're getting them both, so you should be happy.
Well, by the way, guys, funny aside, I just did an image search for the Data Viper just so I could see what the hell everyone was talking about. And would you believe a picture of the Buggles came up? So that should tell you that the cross between Data Viper and to get the Buggles. That's hysterical.
I don't even know what the Buggles is, so I'll just take you.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, they
it's a family
were,
program, Chuck.
It was the first band to have a video played on MTV.
Oh, gotcha.
But Numbers, you were going to say something, so I mean, if you want to make the final point.
No, I think I already asked later. But thanks, though.
All right, moving on to one of the other Q&A questions that we wanted to cover. This one is from joeintel.com. It says, the Hiss Scout and the Cycle Armor were shown at JoeCon, but there were no definite word on where they will be available. Can you give us any word on where we might be able to expect these? And Hasbro says, so here's the story. We are still working on getting a retailer to take this in the U.S. However, a limited amount of these items have made their way into market in Singapore. The largest order for these was for Canada, lucky for them. Stay tuned on a U.S. retailer. So now we can don't all pat like, Gary on the back.
Told you so, told you so. Thank
me
you.
Your old buddy, your old pal. you're about to be everybody's best friend here.
Yes.
drop by JoeCanuck.com. lots of friendly people there who can.
I only went like five cases, so can you hook me up? Hello?
There go the crickets.
the problem is I'm in Canada, and we don't tend to find new things in Canada, so I think they're all just trying to pull everyone's leg. That's my theory. Meanwhile, the guy in Singapore is like,
No, it's I called a shot on it a couple weeks ago, not to, you know, continue to pat myself on the back, but
I remember about how the different language.
Yeah, the wording it was in the Queen's English and all that, so yeah. You are definitely gonna see him up there, so you're now obliged to help out Chuckles.
If I find them, I'll let you know, but you know my crap luck, Chuck, so...
Your crap luck, like the same luck you had when you said, oh yeah, I saw those Alpha Wave 3 scouts that we never saw and that were supposed to be the Target exclusives. I didn't think much of them, uh-huh.
Yeah, just because I saw, like, a few of them on a liquidation aisle, and they still looked like crap. Put a new coat of paint on them, they still look like crap, Chuck. No
offense
to those of you guys who wanted to look for them.
Someone's crap is someone else's treasure, so Chuck.
There you go.
You know, a turd's still a turd, but there you go.
A Shito will be mine. Mark my word.
All right, on to our third question. This one is also from Joe Intel. It says, we are already aware of and quite happy with the running changes on Blowtorch and Crocmaster. We feel the important items were addressed, but want to be prepared if there are any other small changes. Are any other POC figures getting any changes, even if something is minimal? And this one, I was actually surprised I got an answer on. It says, as the brand transitions into 30th anniversary, some of the more popular Cobra troop builders will be getting some minor revisions as they find their way into the new 30th anniversary style card backs. For example, the Cobra Viper will feature red wrist guards and will be outfitted with a new array of weapons instead of the projectile launching cannon. So that's kind of, it's interesting. I wonder if they realize that Wave 5 and 6 are not going to be very abundant, and they're trying to remedy that by sprinkling in some repaints into some future 30th anniversary waves that will hopefully be more abundant.
I just hope that the Viper comes with weapons it can hold easily.
It's kind of what it sounds like to me. It's that they're going to kind of forego that spring-loaded rocket launcher and include some weapons instead, so... I think it sounds like there'll at least be more options, if nothing else.
I got nothing to add on that. I mean, it's going to be just another thing that everyone's going to have to chase down, and everyone's going to get hyper over really early on, and then we'll be stuck with them on the pegs for days and days and days on end. Until
I don't know if
we'll
be stuck with those Vipers.
Well,
so.
All right, and the final question from the Q&A that we'll cover today. This one is from Joe Customs. It says, as filming for the G.I. Joe sequel gets underway, at what point of the process are you in with the movie line? And will the line be sold side by side with what has been shown for the 30th anniversary? And Hasbro's answer was, we have already been working on the movie line for several months here. The movie line will be our main focus next year, and then when the movie line comes out, it will replace the 30th anniversary line for a while. They will not be in aisle at the same time. So it sounds like the same basic thing that happened with the 25th anniversary line and Rise of Cobra, where it'll just end and then it'll switch over to movie figures for a while.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Well, you know, Greg, it's funny. This same question. question, the same question was asked on another site, and the phrasing they got from Hasbro was a little different. They actually made it sound like that when it's time for the movie figures to be on the shelf, that they will actually pull whatever 30th anniversary figures are there off the shelf to put the movie figures on. Because I remember with Rise of Cobra, at least in the stores by me, you did have a few remnants from the 25th anniversary on the shelf at the same time as some of those early waves of the movie figures.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we'll probably end up seeing the same thing. I don't think they will really go out and yank product off of shelves, but it might have just been the way it was phrased. But maybe I'm wrong, but I don't really see that happening. I think that, I don't know. I'm kind of mixed. I've loved the Pursuit of Cobra so much that it kind of sucks thinking that it's going to be phased out, or that style will be phased out in favor of another movie line. But when I think back, if you're not talking about the design, if you're not talking about, kind of the spirit of the character, I think, construction, sculpting, technique itself actually improved from the 25th anniversary to the Rise of Cobra line. So I think, if they can make that same kind of sculpting and design evolution from 30th anniversary or whatever it is at the time to the sequel line, I think maybe we could be in for some cool toys, just as long as they do that and don't treat it like Mattel treats their movie properties and just crap out anything they can come up with. If you just look at from a pure sculpting detail, articulation improvement, adding the trigger fingers, just doing a couple things like that, I think the Rise of Cobra figures really were a step above the anniversary figures purely from the way they were made. So if they can continue that progress with the sequel line, I don't have a big problem with it, assuming we'll get back to the good stuff after.
The Rise of Cobra Snake Eyes was the first Snake Eyes I had that could actually hold his sword, without it drooping out, falling out. It actually held it quite well. So if we can see that kind of improvement, then,
A big thing is just having the trigger fingers somewhat separate from the rest of the hand sculpt. That was something that they did in the Rise of Cobra line that really kind of, it really makes a big difference the way the figure can hold the weapon. And I think a lot of folks have the rose-colored glasses with the anniversary stuff, thinking that, this figure looks like he looked like in the 80s, so it's a better figure. When you boil right down to the range of motion, that trigger finger, the actual, the detail itself of the sculpting, you can see that the movie figures are actually maybe a step above. Pursuit of Cobra is perfect proof of that. If you look at the upcoming Lifeline or Airtight and compare them to some of the stuff we got in the anniversary line, it's night and day, the difference of just the technique of the detail and stuff.
The trigger figure is one thing, but I'm glad that they were able to make the movie figures sit down and arms that can bend 90 degrees. That's a lot of the 25th anniversary figures were missing those features, which really sucked. But those figures, they found their way into the Pursuit of Cobra. So
remember the early 25th figures. The early 25th figures, you got to remember, were initially going to be, you're going to put them up on a shelf and they're going to be collector type things. And then all of a sudden they kind of exploded and took off, and they had these what the fandom now calls the diaper crotch, and they couldn't sit down. And then they went back and fixed all that. But, early on, the first, wave or two in the box sets of 25th were straight up, hey, you're gonna show these on a shelf. You ain't going to play with these.
Not just that, but a lot of them did have issues with elbows that couldn't really bend. And even though they didn't have the diaper crotch, they still couldn't sit down properly, or they still wouldn't look right sitting on chairs.
Well, they would have that skirt, like Snow Job has that kind of that lower skirt portion of his jacket. So he wouldn't sit well, yeah.
They have holsters sculpted with thighs that sort of gets in the way of a belt, or the holster gets in the way of their sculpted vest. I take photos of these dudes every week, and it gets on your nerves sometimes, let me tell you.
Yeah, I know. When I take pictures for reviews, or when I am actually updating my Dio story page and having to fight with figures that just, can't hold the weapon, it's such a basic thing.
Well, that's...
Hate to borrow your phrase, Chuck, but don't get me started on...
Well, there was actually, I know the Coil, we asked a question, is this a plastic on the Wave 6 figure seem to be softer? And, some questions are flat out, I was like, I'm not going to answer it. And they actually came out and answered this kind of back with a... bit of a smart-ass answer, and it's like, in what sense? Because, you know, the question was, you know, it seems like, you know, to hold an action figure or hold the accessory is a little difficult. And they come back and say some hands may be softer for better grip of weapons and accessories.
Until they lose their shape because they're softer.
But this kind of leads to this was the first of my this is a segment we kind of were talking about playing with called Come On Man. And this is one of my first things. I just read it and I'm like, come on, man, seriously? And then, you know, right there, and then you read Justin's question about the female figures and that the female figures don't sell. And again, I am not a big female figure fan necessarily. I'll go out and buy it. Don't turn this into an HR episode here. But
Sigma 6 Scarlet, eh, Justin?
Yeah, exactly.
But
I'm shaking my fist in the air. now my snake eyes is lonely. Sure, he's got his wolf and his flying glider ninja friend, but
but you gotta believe. I'm looking at the fandom and they seem to be energized by this, and then I'll come back and say, you know, they don't sell. My response is,
come on, man.
You know, come on, man. apparently the Helix sell. I still don't see those floating around, but. Maybe that's just my area.
You didn't really make any of them,
or they were tough to find for people. And then the other question, and I if you notice, there's less and less sites submitting questions because it's almost kind of. I don't know if it's not worth the fandom's time. I hate to miss this opportunity to get back to Hasbro, but stop asking questions about freaking Billy and the flag and the Terror Drum. And this is just me ranting and another come on man moment.
Come on, man.
They're not coming out. No matter how many times you ask, they are not coming out. They have held firm on this, and if the club's not coming out with it, Hasbro sure as hell's not coming out with it. So
yeah,
just
I think a joke enough.
Ask better questions,
one of the rules
yeah.
For the Q&As we set up was no asking questions about when is Hasbro Toy Shop coming to Canada, because every Q&A people ask that, and we'd get the same answer, something like, meh. Or, you know, a little bit wordier than that, but that was the general gist of it. So we made a rule, don't ask about it because you're wasting an answer slot just by asking that same silly question.
Gary, what you said about fewer sites submitting questions, and this is the same problem with the other franchise. If you remember, about a year ago, Hasbro changed the parameters for the type of questions.
Yeah.
And first of all, at least when I spoke to a couple site owners, they had a hard time understanding what questions could be allowed. And the second thing is that most people found the parameters just so restrictive that any question they would want to ask, they couldn't. And Justin, what you were talking about before about the trigger figures, remember, the trigger figures don't always work. I mean, for example, this new Pursuit of Cobra Viper, he has trigger fingers on both his hands, and he still can't hold his rifle well. So,
yeah, but
I
he
mean,
can hold. He will be able to hold a rifle well, at least. I mean, his anniversary figures with no trigger finger, they can't hold any rifle. At least the Viper will be able to hold some weapon somehow, somewhere.
Now, Chuck, I know this for fact. On the Joe side, I don't know if this has affected any of the other fandoms that Hasbro does a Q&A with through Hunter PR, but I won't say their name, but I know that there is one high profile site that just no longer submits because it's too restrictive. And when they do ask a question, the answers really come back. You know, again, come on, man. I mean, just answer the question. They were a little bit better this time, but. And I've been told that the other fandoms get back better answers. I don't know if that's true or not. Again, I don't know if that's just, you know, Joe fans crying over, you know, fanboy reaction or whatever. But, you know,
fandoms do that too.
Yeah, I wish, you know, I just really wish that we could not miss these opportunities, get the questions out there, make them count. And I really wish that in turn they would give us back answers, because I know when I work with Justin and some of the other sites, when we try to get our questions together to get them out there, I mean, we work hard to get them good questions, and then we come back with a one or two line answer. And typically it's, you know, stay tuned, we have no plans, or some of them were better this time, but there's still quite a bit of those out there. And I really wish they would come back and say, here's why we're not doing it, or at least more response based upon the time we're taking to give them stuff.
Yeah, I'm a little sensitive about the whole Q&A topic, so I won't go into it a whole lot here because I know we are running a little late. But I was one of the guys that kind of headlined the effort with Hasbro. This was kind of back in the tail end of the Sigma 6 days, where there weren't really that many other sites there devoted to G.I. Joe, or at least to Sigma 6 specifically. So, you know, I was able to work with somebody in Hasbro marketing to kind of headline and get this Q&A thing initiated. So it always kind of pains me when people ask, is it worth it? Because it was, you know,
it should be.
A lot of time getting contact information together and trying to figure out what site should be in the pilot group and stuff like that. But no, I'm not disagreeing with you, Gary. Lately it has kind of become that type of feel where you're not, you know, the Q&A deadline is coming. You're like, you no longer is like, oh, cool, you know, I can ask some questions and get some information. Now it's like, oh, now I have to come up with three questions that fit these parameters and that haven't been asked 8 times before and that nobody else is asking. And it becomes almost a chore. And I agree, it really shouldn't be. So I don't know where the issue lies. There is an issue for sure, and it's something we've...
The solution to the issue, not necessarily where it lies. I mean, the issue's there, just like, well, how do we fix this and make it better? And they shrunk it down, so it used to be what, 5? Did we send 5 before?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, and now it's 3, and then, you know, we guarantee one's going to be answered, and whatever. It's just not as fun as it used to be. I can say that for a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, just with all the different sites doing it and trying to make sure you're not repeating questions and everything, it's become a job.
All right.
Sorry.
Nope, that's okay.
Oh, good stuff. It's good stuff tonight.
Yeah.
Justin, do you want to announce the winner of the contest?
Oh, yeah, if you want me to do that, sure.
All right. Drum roll, please.
Well, hold on. I'm actually doing this... Sorry, I'm almost ready. I was gonna have my my 5-year-old daughter pull a name out of the hat, but as I said, she is spending the night at grandma's, so she can't do it.
Justin is sticking his hand into her hat. He's getting ready to pull a name. Shh. Quiet, please. Quiet, please.
What I'm doing is I've got my magic little cup here that has everybody's name in it, and believe it or not, I've got my silly little phone, and I'm recording this just for proof that I'm not cheating.
Can you wave to the camera for us?
Hi.
Hi, okay.
This is the dramatic behind-the-scenes look at the production of What's on Joe Mind. You see that screen? That's pretty thrilling. That's real, right, man.
You know, I was contemplating tonight that I was actually going to turn on my Ustream, and I would actually Ustream live my end of the podcast, but then I figured... You know, that might be a bit much.
Yeah, and by the way, Charles really does not look like Optimus Prime or whoever that is on this picture.
That is Star Saber, sir.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
Once again, big in Japan.
Do I detect a bit of sarcasm on the end of Mr. General's Joe's?
Oh, you're not going to use his Japanese name? That sounds so much cooler.
All right. I've got this big pile of papers here.
And the winner is...
Names and the winner.
I don't have a drum roll sound effect. Sorry, guys. I didn't have it for this week.
Boom. Roger would be disappointed, Chuck.
Belt Sander?
Screen name is Sidewinder. And I actually know Sidewinder pretty well. And I promise this was not rigged. You can see my random pieces of paper here. I drew his name completely... by chance, he is one of the guys who headlines the G.I. Joe Review podcast. And
what a coincidence. All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's his name right there. And I'll put this video up on my site just so people know it wasn't rigged. But congratulations, Christopher, codename Sidewinder.
All right. Very good. Very good.
American.
What was his story? Did you want to look that up?
What was his story?
Yeah, what was his story for his birthday memory?
Let me see. You had to ask me a tough question there, Gary. What's going on?
While you look that up, we got anything else here on the agenda that we can get out of the way?
We've only been going for about 90 minutes.
I know, but it's been a positive 90 minutes. A lot of news happened this week. This, once again, be careful what you wish for. And we were talking Friday. It's like, man, ain't nothing happening.
And Chuck has only busted out his rock impersonation once. So.
And we figured it'd be a slow week anyways with the robot convention going on. You know, it's like, oh, I ain't going to get anything this week.
All right, I've got Sidewinder's little story here if you want to hear it.
Yes, please.
Hey, one of the most interesting is when I was visiting my cousin one summer. His mom went outside to start some laundry, and he told me to hurry and follow him. We ran into his parents' bedroom, and he opened their closet door. He pulled back the clothes and moved some shoeboxes, and there was the tactical battle platform box.
Whoa, I'm glad. It was starting to sound like a Deer Penthouse level. Ooh.
I wasn't going there.
Oof.
He proudly said, "That's what I'm getting for my birthday."
Awesome.
So, congratulations.
And then it went to his brother.
All right, congratulations, guys. I'm sure you will definitely enjoy the book. You will definitely enjoy the book.
Absolutely.
All right, and then our final discussion point for the week is what we got in. And I got nothing. Next.
Yeah, I don't
okay.
think
I'm sure, Justin, I'm not sure if you're with me, but I did get the Wave 5 last Thursday, the Wave 5 of the Pursuit of Cobra figures. So even though it's Wave 5, this is the last figures that are going to be released. I did put up on the message board, give me a couple figures to talk about. You guys never got back to me, so I picked two. And the two I picked, number one, the Cobra Trooper. Here's the thing, right off the bat, he comes, that both pistols are rubber banded into his hands. Not good. It actually, with the heat here in New York, it actually stretched the plastic a little. The plastic in his hands. You know, it wasn't too bad. The pistols are the same sort of silenced pistol that came with Snake Eyes. But the funny thing is, they're a little thinner, so you actually have to leave the silencer on to have it fit in the holster. He can hold his rifle. He can hold his rifle in a sniper pose and in a more of a, you know, down towards the waist pose. The helmet is removable, even though it did sort of look like it was glued on. But... you know, he has a nice shade of brown hair, and I do like it. I like it a lot. One thing that I caught right off the eye, his hips are actually ball-jointed metal hips. And I have, at first, when I first saw them, I thought it was going to be he had an O-ring, but he doesn't. So I will definitely be looking for another guy to pick up. I think it's a great troop builder. I guess I would have preferred the AK-47, but... you can't win them all. Second figure I picked, and I'm going to say this is actually the best figure thus far. It was the Cobra Commander. And
everyone gasps.
Wait, wow. Now let me tell you right off the bat. Apparently, talking to the guys over at the Terradrome, there was an issue. His cape was actually attached to the clip backwards. Simple fix, no problems. He does come with his staff, a scepter, a sword, dagger, and the Python poison pistol. Now, at first, I thought there would be no place to store this. Well, he actually has holes on his leg that you can actually peg the pistol into. Now, speaking of the legs, at first you would think, looking at his little jacket there, that it would hinder leg articulation. There is plenty of room for the legs to swing forward, the knees to bend. Also, if you wanted to swing out laterally like he's going to karate kick someone, you can unpeg the jacket a little and the leg can swing out freely. I will say right now, this is the best Cobra Commander I have since the 25th anniversary DVD 5-pack that was the best of the 80s one with the chrome face mask. If he had the chrome face mask, then this definitely would be the best Cobra Commander I've had. Pick him up. Pick up the trooper, you can't go wrong. All right.
Yes, but can they dance? Can they dance?
There's no dancing in Joe.
Don't tell Snake Eyes that in the Pyramid of Darkness miniseries, man.
Yes.
It's the cartoon we're talking about.
Oh, that's right. I
groovy
forgot.
There.
Yeah.
The cartoon doesn't count.
It doesn't count. No. Moving on. Who's next? Justin?
Yeah, I got nothing. I don't think I was. Well, today I got my my Beast Wars box set DVD, the complete series.
Right,
but,
on. Doesn't count.
But
it counts.
Besides that, Joe related. No, I mean, as we talked last week, I had just gotten my Wave 5 in, and I was busting open the Cobra Troopers. I've now taken about 120 pictures for various upcoming reviews, and I'm hoping to get those reviews posted in a little while. But As of right now, I have had a Joe-free week.
That's... Wow.
Yeah. I'm not used to that. I think I'm getting the cold sweats.
You getting the shakes?
Do Joe's every week?
This is General Hawk we're talking about, man. It's the number one website in the Joe community. He's got to have product.
That's right. I need my fix.
He's got the hotline to Hasbro, and apparently the hotline to BBTS.
It's okay, numbers. It's okay. I'm here for you. I have a hard time finding new Joe stuff, too, every week. Come here. It's okay.
I didn't say I found it. I just ended up...
Some consolation prize.
Boxes show up. He doesn't know where they come from, right?
The sponsor sent it to me.
Yeah.
At least. There's a common theme going on here. I'm like that scene in Spaceballs where you have the black guys with the pick out in the out in the desert. I ain't got nothing this week. So it's 2 weeks to CanadaCon, so I've been kind of encouraged not to spend money. I could say
it's only Canadian money.
And yet, no. Well, your money's actually worth more than mine right now. But no, it's actually a small sacrifice in order to go party well, drink hearty when I'm with the Canadian collectors here in a couple weeks. Right, Greg?
You betcha.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, that pretty much does it for this episode. Gary, do you want to see us out?
Yes. All right, next week... we're going to begin prep for the first of three, probably, podcasts next week. We'll worry about the scheduling of who's going to be on them and whatnot with Canadian Joe Con coming up. We'll review the set next week. We should have all of the characters that we know will be in a set next week. So we'll take a look at that one time next week. Also, looks like we'll be probably talking a little bit more Renegades next week. Probably getting the Joe Archaeology with the latest find by a friend of the program, Mr. Goggles. We'll probably revisit the classics with Chuck, because it's been a while since we've done that. And hopefully hear the first of his segments, his editorial segment. It's called What the Chuck. That's right, What the Chuck. You ready for that, Chuck?
Oh, am I ready?
I think Andy Rooney, but more funny and having to do with Joe's. And, of course, things are subject to change depending on how the news comes in. So we're going to be here regardless. So talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Listen to us on iTunes and at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. Read about us on Facebook, facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Find us at various threads around the community at Joe Customs, Terror Drome, JBL, His Tank, Joe Classified. I hope I didn't miss anybody. We look forward toward hearing from you guys, as always. Special thanks to Amir for joining us. Any last words, man?
Goodbye, everybody. I've got to go. I've got to leave you all behind to face the truth. Keep playing the game. Stay frosty. Keep your stick on the ice. Be soon.
Hockey.
Nice.
Awesome. Greg, good show tonight. So now you can get on with your painting, right?
Yes. You know, I want to go.
Chuck, technology treated you better this week, right?
Oh, you betcha. New modem works wonders.
Justin, you got anything?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm ready to wrap for the night. It's past my bedtime.
All right. Well...
lullaby, Justin?
We're not changing the in tune for that. So for our guest Amir,
until like 11:30 tonight.
That's right. You get to stay up late if you want to. That's right. You don't have anyone bringing you to bed or telling you to be quiet because the kid's sleeping.
Exactly.
So for our guest Amir, our showrunner Greg, our co-host Chuck and Justin, I'm Gary. We will see you next week for another episode of What's on Joe Mine. See ya.
The cradle.
Get it out of my head.
I'm